Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of my podcast, Multiple Voices. And today I'm with Maureen Ross Gem. Say hello, Maureen.
Hi, Claudia. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm super happy to have you. Who is Maureen? She's talking to us from Connecticut, and she has a particular background, well, like every guest, but this is... a woman after my own heart, I always say, but this is specific. All right, so she has a background in the corporate world and a motorcycle rider grandmother, and who was also a personal growth advocate. She trains and coaches leaders who want to make an impact. But how does she do this? She is a personality expert. And I'm going to lead with that and have her tell us exactly what she does. What do you do with their personality? How do you get the information about their personality? And what can this tell them about where they can develop spiritually, if that comes into the equation?
Oh, sure. Thank you. That's a very huge topic. I could immediately talk for 15 minutes.
Go. That's what we're here for.
So here's the thing. Yeah, right. I have found, first, I was a teenage drug addict and an alcoholic, and I had a very messy adolescence. Ooh. So I reached out and got the help I needed when I was 24 years old, mm-hmm. and embarked on this path of personal growth and, you know, spiritual development of myself. But what do? We can't just go up on a mountaintop and like crawl into a cave and meditate. We have to deal with the real life. And so I got a job, I fell in love, I did get married, I had a family, and I worked at a corporate career for 27 years. And during my 20s, now I had this major transformation at 24 years old where mm-hmm. I had to change everything about my life, like everything. Mm-hmm. And so I jumped into, again, this personal growth and development, trying to figure out who I was. Mm-hmm. And after a few years of that, I discovered, you know, personality types, and I studied the Myers-Briggs type, right. Probably in my 20s, and then I studied the Enneagram in my 30s and 40s, and
these
then
are,
I studied,
you know, they're very common for personality
different
types.
Personality type indicators. And now I left that corporate job in my early 50s, and I started my own company called Emerge Leadership Academy, mm-hmm. and in my company I am now a certified authorized partner of Everything DISC. So this is, I think, the
what is
easiest.
That?
This is a personality type indicator, mm-hmm. like some mm-hmm. of the other ones, but it's less complicated. It's the easiest one to explain. I'd be happy to explain. There's 4 different styles. And
what I'm interested more in is how to cultivate a direct connection to spirit, no matter what personality you are.
Right.
Learning to use insight and intuition. Go ahead.
Right. So as I dove down deeper into personality types, well, what do you find out? Personality isn't just it, right? We also have values, we have belief systems, we have experiences, we have trauma that we have to heal. So you have to go deeper and deeper, and the emotional set points that you have as well. So the only way to really do that is to go within, right? I found this anyways. You can continue to chase all these kinds of things outside.
I told you I was a devil's advocate. Now, you say go within. What does that mean? All right. Generally, we get the picture, but when you say to go within, how do you mean that?
Well, I think I mean it in the way that you understand it.
Well, I haven't understood. Make believe I'm dumb.
I will, but I don't. I know that you and your listeners are probably pretty familiar. But what I'm saying is, let go of all outside input and go within. And a lot of times that means what do you have inside of you? You have an internal voice.
Right.
There's actually several internal voices.
Yes.
Right. And a lot of those voices and that thinking in your brain was programmed from a very early time in your life, in your childhood, by your caregivers and your parents. And then when we get to be adults, if we do not wake up and realize that we are programmed in a certain way or conditioned in a certain way, then we're going to continue to live by that default and attract the things into our life that are the way that we were programmed to think.
Okay.
So when the reprogramming begins, you really have to go within to listen. What am I thinking? What am I conscious of? What is my inner voice saying? Am I beating myself up? Am I treating myself with compassion? And I think that managing that inner voice in your head is the beginning. Once you can learn to listen and even change that voice and learn to love yourself, then you can go deeper into your heart and into your soul and hear a whole new level of messages.
Forgive me if I stop you. You mentioned the word conscious. We become conscious of, and that opens another wide area that talks of consciousness. And because when I mentioned, and when you mentioned cultivating a direct connection to spirit, spirit would be the equivalent of consciousness or a form of consciousness. Is it not? What is it? And what is spirit for you?
That's a really good question. And I think you phrased the question appropriately, like, what is it for me?
Yes.
Right? Because I do believe, I have certain beliefs. I was raised Catholic, but I don't really follow that doctrine. I think if I was to pick any religion, I probably believe closest to Buddhism. However, I also believe that religion is one of the major issues in our world today. I think this is what we kill over, and it's very, very unfortunate.
Right.
But I also believe a lot of what you would call New Age. I do believe that we are all one, that we are all little divine aspects, facets of a diamond, if you will, facets of the whole, a drop in the ocean, all kinds of metaphors for it, right?
Right.
That we are each divine manifestations of the source of all that is.
Okay.
And so,
go ahead. You have the floor. Maureen.
And so as we manifest into this life, and we are what I call little gods godding, that we can be whoever we want to be. But we do pick certain parents that we want to come into an incarnation with.
When you say we, you're talking about the soul now, correct?
I'm talking about you're each individual soul.
Okay.
When souls, I think, this is what happens. I think when they come from the other side and manifest as in this three-dimensional universe, that we then come here. We live for our lifetime. We evolve our soul, and we learn certain lessons that we agreed, like sacred contracts that we agreed mm-hmm. to come here to fulfill.
Right.
And then we go back right. to the primordial right. all that is one.
Months ago, I had a guest on. He was a spiritual leader, a guide for, but a layman. Okay, wasn't a clergyman. And when I was asking similar questions to him, he said, well, we're talking of the abstract and it's speculation here. And then he gave me the answer. And I appreciated that because, yes, you can say that, of course. So now I'm back and I'm bringing you like the horse, you know, with the reins, I'm bringing you back to direct connection to spirit. And so we gave out, you mentioned a few key words, the little God within, the soul, going within. Now we have to, there's a little line missing there. How to connect to spirit? Is it my soul connecting to another soul, to spirit, to the divine? How is it possible to connect, in your experience?
To me, it's still an ongoing process to figure all this out. So I'm a lifelong learner. I'm 61 years old.
Like us all.
I'm going to continue mm-hmm. to practice and try to figure it out. I have a very extroverted personality. So I had been trying to look outside myself and fix myself for a long time with external worldly things, mm-hmm. right? Then I became matured, and also after years of practice of certain things and working on myself, realized that a big source of my any kind of unhappiness that I might have in my was all part of what's happening up here in my brain. Mm-hmm. So I went back to school in my 40s. I got my undergrad in psychology mm-hmm. and I studied the psyche and all of that and behavior stuff. And then I went and got my master's in education, and all of those things still don't fix that little feeling of
okay.
not enough.
Something's missing there. So let's try
hole
to
in my
help
heart.
Those our listeners to understand. There are several ways, perhaps, what could work for you, what didn't work, I don't know, your clients.
So then then you get into meditation.
Okay.
Meditation is a practice, again, of quieting your mind so you can really listen and hear your soul or your heart speaking. It's a still, small voice within. There are ways that you can sort of hack that by using a pendulum or maybe mm-hmm. some tarot cards and getting some messages from your angels and guides. I've had direct stories where visits from angels. I have mm-hmm. a couple of stories. And they're
Could
amazing.
Could you share those if you don't mind?
Sure. Mm-hmm. No, I don't mind. The first time it happened to me, I had just gotten married. I was 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had been living in a home with my husband. It was an apartment, uh-huh. and we had just purchased a small house. Actually, we didn't. It was my mom and my brother, and we were going to rent it from them. And if we did all the work to fix it up, uh-huh. and the guy that had lived there was really, anyways, he had ruined the house. So we had to fill a 30-yard dumpster of stuff, you know. Oh. We were just cleaning it and working hard every day, plus working our full-time jobs during the day, going there after. And it was on our one-month anniversary. We were exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I had just finished dinner. I was going to clean up the dishes, and then we were going to get in the car and go back over and do some more floor scrubbing and so forth. And I got the dishes. Paul had fallen asleep on the couch. I got the dishes, went into the kitchen, opened the garbage, and it was crawling with maggots.
Oh,
and I
lovely.
Screamed, right? Ah! hot. It was the middle of summer, so it's a hot day, and a couple of flies
have
gotten in. Mm. That's all that happened. It has to happen. And I screamed, and he jumped up, out of a dead sleep, comes running in, and he tripped and put his arm through the door and made a huge gash down his arm, and there was just blood like flying everywhere. And I scream again, but I grabbed a dish towel and I ran in and I wrapped it around his arm, and I said, "Get in the car." And he just went right to the car. I got my pocketbook and slammed the door, and we were gone to the hospital. I never drove so fast. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, and he got 50 stitches on the inside and the outside. It was horrible. But that night, laying in bed, we're both recovering drug addicts and alcoholics. There's no pain medication for us to take at this time, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in a lot
in
of pain.
In what way? In what sense? You couldn't take...
We're not going to take narcotics, sort of heavy narcotic that's going to kill the pain. Mm-hmm. Or he wasn't going to at that time. So I think he was like taking like a Motrin 800 or something like that, right? So he was sleeping, but he woke up in the middle of the night and he was in pain, and he went back to get another aspirin, whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And I remember lying in bed thinking, this is all my fault. Like, if I hadn't screamed, this never would have happened. How did this happen? And I suddenly had this thought, geez, recently I had heard that we all have a team of angels. There's three of them, and we can call upon them at any time. I heard of it as like spirit angels at the time, and I know I have a guardian angel and other things, but there's all different kinds of angels, right? So
there
anyways,
are
I just said
things out there.
Mm-hmm. So he came back and laid down in the bed, and I just opened my eyes and I said, God, if there really are angels, now would be a really good time to send them.
I'm waiting.
And help. Three of them appeared to me.
Good.
And they were above our heads, just like we were laying down. Their heads were above our heads, mm-hmm. and their flowing white bodies were over the bed. And I was like, wow. I was silly young self, was amazed at how fast that was delivered. I didn't know if it was going to take it. I just was like, wow, thank you. And I closed my eyes and I felt this incredible deep peace all through my body, and I fell asleep. And the next morning I woke up and I thought, you probably just dreamed it. You probably didn't really experience that. And I went to work and I didn't say anything. And I walked by this friend's desk, and she had a little bag of bubble gum on her desk. Mm. And that bazooka bubble gum? Yeah. And I picked one out, and I was reading the little comic strip inside, and underneath there was a fortune, and it said, "Angels guard your every move."
Aww.
And I just knew, like, it was confirmation for me. I knew in my whole body. I felt this incredible vibration all throughout me. Right. And I just knew it was true. And I did call him immediately, and I told him, "You're not going to believe how fast you're going to heal, because I saw angels last night, and here's what happened." And he was very excited. He said, and he did. He healed very, very, very quickly.
Good.
Yeah.
So
the first time I saw an angel.
Yeah. And knowing that they were there, they come when you call. And how did you manage that throughout the years? And did it feed into your practice?
Well, first, I told the story. I own the story. I believe the story. Is that what you mean?
No, I meant you own the story. You believed it, of course. How did you manage the conversation, the connection with them as you developed in life? And did the practice of interacting with them feed into your work practice, coaching, if you will?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Every single day. Every single day.
Well, tell us. We're here to listen. Go ahead. Like a dog. Sorry. Go on.
So a lot of that is praying, writing, listening.
Wait. It sounds like the title of a book. Praying, writing, listening. All right. A lot of that, what?
that and everything you think it is. I spent time every single morning in a practice of meditation and setting intentions for the day and being more conscious during the day, allowing myself to take moments of breathing and listening. How am I feeling in my body? Mm-hmm. Is this person, like, this is how I use it. Is this person to be trusted? Yes. What does my heart say? Is this vibration here? Is this a decision I should say yes? Is this a conversation I should interrupt? Is this, asking these questions to myself all the time and listening and feeling how I'm feeling in my body, that's the practice.
Okay,
right?
So now that word conscious keeps coming up.
Right.
You know? So let's keep that in mind. Go on.
So conscious is really about this awareness. Mm-hmm. So many of us, we just go through our day and we don't even think that we're thinking. We're not aware that we are, we're involved in a deep conversation, or that this person just pushed my buttons and I'm feeling, you know, upset or angry. And in that, when we're not aware, when we're just triggered, we often react. We say things sometimes we don't really mean. Yeah. We're in an ego point of view. We're I have to put my armor on. I have to protect myself against your, you know, whatever quote you are.
Right.
But when you're conscious, when you're thinking consciously, you can step back from that and say, ooh, in my mind, I guess they're having a bad day today. Right. I don't have to take that personal.
Wait a minute. Now, so let's say you develop a practice. It could be a series of invocations that you pronounce. You said writing. You were writing. Do you write your intentions? Is that what you write?
There's all different kinds of practices for writing, and I've done many, many different types of journaling over the years.
Oh, okay.
But
journaling.
You know, the artist's way. I'm Cameron. I can't remember her name, but it's writing 750 words a day every morning. It's like 3 pages of writing.
What?
Any stream of consciousness, anything that comes through you. What's happening in your mind?
Serve. What would the purpose of that be?
It allows you to see almost what's on your mind, and sometimes what spirit wants you to see.
Okay. Right. Now, personally, the way I do it, I always say I have very bad eyesight, but I can hear really well. I do that, but I use a microphone and put it on the paper.
Nice.
And then I'm able to see it and go back and read it. And of course, you know, the periods are never there, the commas are never there, but I get what I'm supposed to get. All right, now from there, you have developed your own personal growth pattern, your own personal connection with spirit on a daily basis, and inevitably, just like you said, it will spill down to your practice with your clients. Now, the question is, it's one thing when we see angels, we converse with angels, when we do our writing, and it's another to coach someone who may think we're nuts if we go and tell them all those things. How do you manage that information or that type of information that could coach people? Because you work with their personalities and you said, but that's only one part, right? So is there a way that it trickles down into your own practice with clients?
Oh, yeah. I'm not very obtuse when it comes to that stuff, unless I know you have the same beliefs as I do. So in other words, if we're talking about how to make your manager and you and your team jive better together at work, mm-hmm. I'm going to slip in what I call these spiritual goodies all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's just humanity. It's just how, you know, people think, but to try to raise their level of consciousness about how they think.
Give us an example. Give us a precise example, call Mr. X, and Mr. X is doing that, and then what do you say? What? Give us an example.
Well, I talk about reframing things in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, one of my classes I teach about emotional intelligence, and I tell people, you have a certain personality, and in your personality, you might naturally be empathetic to other people. Mm-hmm. And then a completely other person, that's your boss maybe, their natural inclination is to be self-assured and resolute. Mm-hmm. So they have that where they need to get into sometimes empathy and the empathetic person and receptive person needs to sometimes stand in their power and be resolute and, you know, steadfast and, you know, that sort of thing, self-assured. And it's a transfer sometimes.
It's a transfer. Those are the words of personality types. And those are the concepts from your background. But
their mindset.
When is the zinger coming? When is the spiritual?
But their mindsets. So now, if you have this mindset and now you have this knowledge about each other, the next time you go into a meeting and this person who's the self-assured, you know, resolute person says, you know, just do it because it has to be done.
Right.
You don't have to take that. You feel like this, ouch. Yeah. That hurts me. You don't have to take that personally. That's just that person's mindset. Doesn't give it people excuses to run over each other. But anyways, I ask each and every person to think more about, not just about themselves, but about the other people. And nobody is here set out to make your day miserable. Unless they are, then get out. But, you know, those are toxic environments when they are. But honestly, your mindset has everything to do with it. And the more you do go within and meditate and listen to your guides and listen to and feel your feelings later on when it's appropriate to do so, the easier it's going to be for you to have better relationships with everybody in the world because you have a good inner relationship with yourself. You can feel when it's when you need to act and when you need to not act. And that to me is really listening to your intuition.
All right.
And so really listening to your inner self.
Let's say that the key word throughout here that's emerging is being aware and being conscious of others. And that will change.
Of your thoughts.
Right. That will change not only a person's perspectives, but also how they interact with other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you had one suggestion to give our audience, what would you give them as a suggestion to getting in touch with their own, with their inner self and the divine?
I would say to take some time for yourself every single day, every single morning and evening, if you can, at least, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and do some quiet breathing. There are awesome apps out there. There's one called Waking Up. It's really, really good. Another one is Insight Timer. There's hundreds and thousands of meditation teachers that will, all different kinds of voices that you can listen to that can help you get focused just for 10 minutes on your internal landscape and what's going on for you. And you don't have to completely quiet your mind. This is why many people don't meditate, because they think they have to quiet their mind. But after years and years of practice, you can become aware that you are not your thoughts. You are not your mind. You are something much, much more. And that is where I think your connection gets really, really strong to the divine, to the collective consciousness, and to really realizing your full potential in the world and what your light has to, you know, what do you have to shine? You know, that's what we're really here to do, shine our brightest light.
And this week, I'm starting lessons of breathwork consciousness, starting tomorrow, actually. And the first lesson is free to my audience. Please contact me, and I'll get you started. Thank you so much, Maureen, for this. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much for the conversation.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.